Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to the passage that we read from John chapter 10. Wonder, have you ever asked the question, who can I trust? I'm sure at some point in life we all have a situation where we're not quite sure, well, who can I really trust here? Who is telling the truth? Who will tell it to me as it really is, without their own spin or their own agenda? And we could think of all sorts of different aspects of life where we could apply that. Some very serious, maybe some not so serious. Who can a football team trust to really manage them is an issue that's in the news at the moment. Who can we really trust? Who can we depend on? And so on and so forth. We'll not be any more specific than that. Who can the American people trust to lead them into the next 4 years? Who will they trust? And who can we, as citizens of our United Kingdom, look to for genuine, good, objective guidance when it comes to the referendum in a month's time? So you can see how applicable that sort of question is. Who can we really trust? We live in a world where there are, when you think about it, many voices, many opinions, many shepherds saying, here's the path, walk in it, follow this way, and you'll have made the right decision. It's a very relevant question, and it was just as relevant, no doubt, different context, but just as relevant, 2,000 years ago, whenever Jesus was walking the roads and byways of Palestine. And tonight, as you can see there, we come to this next I Am. We have been thinking of some of the I Ams of Jesus, and tonight we think of Jesus' words, I am the good Shepherd. And tonight, as we think a little bit about this, I just want you to think, first of all, of the absence of the Good Shepherd. As I'll say probably a couple of times in this message, the good news only makes sense in the context of bad news. And the bad news here is that there was not an abundance of good shepherds, the absence of the good shepherd. My illustration here comes from a couple of places. If you've got your Bible open, John chapter 10, you will know that John chapter 9 is obviously the immediate context. John chapter 9 is actually one of my favorite stories in the whole of the Bible. We'll not go into all sorts of details now, but it's the story of the blind man made to see. And it's the story of this man who was touched by Jesus and he was made to see. And you would think that was a great news story, but it got him into all sorts of trouble and bother. Why? Because there were bad shepherds around. There were people there who were meant to be shepherding the sheep, but they actually weren't doing a very good job at it. They were poor shepherds at best. And if you look at the story in John chapter 9, you will notice that some of these shepherds, the Pharisees, verse 16, for example, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Jesus had healed this man on a Sabbath. He had broken one of their rules. And they're very upset. They're more upset about a rule than they are in caring for a man. And that's what happens when religion gets the upper hand. You become more obsessed with a rule and you forget about people. And this dear man is not being cared for very well by the shepherds. And these shepherds, and Jesus goes on to speak about this towards the end of John chapter 9, where he speaks about spiritual blindness. And these shepherds say to Jesus, "Are we blind too?" Verse 40. And Jesus answers, verse 41, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." They are blind. And they're not good shepherds. That's my basic point. And into the situation where there are not good shepherds caring for the sheep comes the good shepherd. But I do want to draw your attention to something else, and you can look at this afterwards when you go home, or look at it in your quiet time this coming week. If you have your Bible, just glance back into the Old Testament, because there's a very important passage that really forms something of the backdrop of this story of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, virtually the whole chapter is given over to the whole subject of shepherds and sheep. And I don't doubt that whenever Jesus was talking about himself being a good shepherd, that this passage was in his mind. Ezekiel 34, let me just set the flavour by reading a couple of verses at the beginning. If you've got your Bible, look at it. If you haven't, just listen carefully. Ezekiel 34 and verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" What a question. What a question to ask a farmer. Should you not be looking after your flock? Should you not be looking after your crop in the field? It should never have had to be asked. Ezekiel 34, the first section, and you can study this again, is how these people, these shepherds, were not caring for the flock. Again, Ezekiel 34 and verse 5 is a good summary. "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd." The absence of a good shepherd. If you study through Ezekiel 34, it goes on to say from verse 11 on that God is going to send a good shepherd. Ezekiel 34 verse 11, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them." And so on and so forth. You see, God himself says, "I'm going to come and be the shepherd, because these people that I have appointed as shepherds are not up to the job. They are poor shepherds at best." And of course, ultimately, God is the good shepherd. Psalm 23, "I am the good shepherd." And then again, and I finish with this in referring to Ezekiel 34, from verse 23 of Ezekiel 34, the Lord says that he's going to raise up another shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." And who was that shepherd ultimately? Well, we're thinking about him tonight. The one who said, "I am the good shepherd." and I lay down my life for the sheep. So, folks, I want you to notice, first of all, the absence of the good shepherd. And the good news of the gospel only makes sense because there is bad news. The bad news is that we are all sinners on the wrong road that leads to destruction. But the good news is that a good shepherd has come to rescue and to save us. And so that brings me to the second point, which brings us right into the heart of this. The absence of the good shepherd and the arrival of the good shepherd. But I want you to notice again, folks, the context of John 10. It's John 9. These careless shepherds who should have been encouraging this man, but they were criticizing him and complaining and making it difficult for him. But into the context comes one who says, look, I am the good shepherd. Why is he good? Well, notice a number of things. Look at John 10. Jesus says in verse 1, I tell you the truth, the man who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Immediately he says, look, there are thieves and robbers around. There are people who don't actually care about the sheep. They jump in over the wall. All they're interested in is getting a sheep, taking it, stealing it, killing it, and all the rest of it. They're not interested in the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I don't jump in over the wall. I enter by the gate, verse 2. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. Indeed, not only does he enter in by the gate, he is the gate, he is the door. And the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. Think about that tonight, brother and sister in Christ. You are part of the flock of God. Are you listening for his voice? Do you hear his voice? You may hear my voice, the minister's voice, the preacher's voice, but do you hear the voice of the shepherd coming through his word? And that is why, of course, a pastor and a minister and a preacher must preach the word of God. People will not hear the word of the shepherd if it's the opinions of a man. But they will hear the word of God in the God-ordained way as the word of God is presented to the people, and they hear his word through this word. And it says here in verse 3 that the watchman opens the door, the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Folks, we need to be listening out for the voice of God. We need to be listening out for the voice of the shepherd. And some of us here maybe aren't listening very well at the moment because actually you have maybe slipped back from spending quality time meditating upon the word of God. How are you ever going to hear his voice if you do not listen and read his word? But Jesus, further down this passage, he develops it. He speaks about himself being the door, and we thought about that last week. But at the heart of this, look at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It brings us to Calvary. It brings us to the cross. The sheep are in danger, you see. The sheep are under threat. They need to be rescued. Who's going to rescue them? Well, the good shepherd comes and rescues them. In fact, the rescue is so dangerous that it costs him his life. But he rescues the sheep. And he brings them back. Though through it, he loses his own life. because he loves his sheep. We sometimes sing, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, raised me up and gently laid me back into the narrow way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with his saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Brother and sister, tonight, you're a member of the flock. But you weren't always a member of the flock. You have been rescued by the shepherd. And so we love the shepherd. We seek to follow the shepherd. We seek to listen for the voice of the shepherd and obey him. Elizabeth Clefane, in that hymn, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. Oh, dark night of Calvary, as Jesus went, and as he laid down his life, and as he shed his own blood, and as he was crucified in unspeakable ways for you and for me, because he loved us. He loved his sheep. He knew the little sheep was going to perish, but he said, I'm going to go out into the dark night and I'm going to bring that sheep back. Are you rejoicing tonight that the shepherd saw you, that he loved you, that he came to save you, and that he gave himself fully and ultimately on Calvary's cross for your salvation? Or are you still outside of the fold tonight? You're not actually part of the flock. Not because you're not invited. You are invited. You're invited to come and be part of the flock. Why will you run after some other hireling who's not actually really ultimately interested in you and your eternal welfare? Come and follow Jesus. The arrival of the Good Shepherd. Notice, if you've got your Bible open, what Jesus goes on to say there in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. What's Jesus speaking about there? He's speaking about other sheep. Who are these other sheep? Well, the answer is very straightforward in many ways. He's speaking here in this context to the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation, if you like. And he's saying, you are to be part of this flock. But I have other sheep. The Gentile nations, they are also going to be invited. And they are also going to be drawn in to be part of the one flock. Isn't it lovely tonight? Whilst there may be many churches and denominations around the world, I think it's a wonderful and a lovely thing that there is one flock, one church made up of those who are truly redeemed, born of God, one flock. And one day that one flock will be gathered, says the writer of Revelation, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, singing praise and worship. And all because of the Good Shepherd. But let me go on to say something about the blessings of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says here in this passage in John, he says there are thieves and robbers. They come to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Life is an important theme in the Gospel of John. It's a very, very big theme. Life abundant. I wonder, have you ever asked the question, why is it that if Jesus offers life abundant, that so many walk past and say, I'm not interested? If the life that Jesus offers is so wonderful, why are there not more people taking it up? Well, that's a very searching question, and various things could be said in response. Let me read you what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. It says this. It says in the latter days that people will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that is happening in our age. It is happening in our generation. People turn away from the truth. They don't want to hear it. Why do they not want to hear it? Well, because it's going to upset their plans. It's going to get in the way of their lifestyle. They want pleasure. They want this, that, and the other thing in life, and they feel that if they come to Jesus, he will spoil their lives. That's why they don't want him. And what are we to do in that situation? Well, what does Paul say to young Timothy? He says, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge the duties of your ministry. Now, we could unpack that. In trying to answer the question, how do we respond in an age where many, many people say, look, I'm just not interested. And that's the kind of age we live in. What are we to do? Well, can I suggest tonight that the first thing you should maybe do is keep your head. Don't panic. Don't be surprised. Be prepared to endure a bit of gospel-centered hardship. It is disappointing and at times frustrating that more and more people do not come to believe the gospel, and that people will ridicule us for our stand on the gospel message. But we are to endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Continue to share the gospel. Continue to invite people, not only to come to a church service or a gospel meeting, but continue to share as and when you have the opportunity about the Lord Jesus. Talk to them about these things. And discharge the duties of your ministry. Continue to do what God has called you to do. And to be, as we were thinking this morning, be what you are. Even though the world at this point in time doesn't seem to be flocking to hear the gospel, be what you are. Don't allow the world to dictate what you should be. Don't allow the world to undermine what you are. Stand by what you are and be what you are as a believing Christian. And we do need, by God's grace, to be diligent in sharing the gospel. We do need, by God's grace, to be much in the main things. We do need, by God's grace, to continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would work. And as we were singing there, we may not fully understand how the Holy Spirit works convincing men of sin, but we believe that he does. So don't become weary in well-doing. Because even though the world of pleasure and celebrity and image, and that's our society, those are the big things, the world. We live in a celebrity age, a pleasure-seeking age, an image age, and materialistic age. And yet I do believe that there are many people, and many young people and older people, who realize there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this endless cycle of pleasure-seeking and clubbing and drink and drugs and sex and all of these things. And the people that are up-and-coming generations look to, they will always let us down. You remember a few years ago there was that episode, wasn't it, Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross episode, which everybody thought they were wonderful people, and yet they exposed themselves as to what they were at best, certainly not as clever as they thought they were, and at worst, false shepherds, deceiving a whole generation. And the point that I'm trying to get across is this, that into the midst of every generation, where there will be people who will say, this is the way, walk in it, they are actually false shepherds. There's only one good shepherd. His name is Jesus. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ still says to those who are lost, come to me and you will find not only yourself, but you will find meaning in life. Jesus is still the good shepherd who says to those who are hurting and who are scarred through the ravages of life, come to me and I will bind up your scars and your brokenness and bring the healing that a pill will not get to. To those who are looking for guidance and direction in life, Jesus still says, come to me and I will show you the path in which to walk. To those who are hungry and thirsty spiritually, and there are many, many people in our community who are, I believe, hungry and thirsty, but I believe they're looking in the wrong places for the answers. And we say tonight, you will find the answer in Jesus. In Jesus. And to those who are looking just for someone to trust, you've been let down by many people. Who can you trust? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You can trust me. Those who are looking for transcendence and significance and love and community, Jesus says, come to me. You can trust me. I wonder tonight as I close, Jesus finished speaking in this thread by saying, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. Tell me tonight, over and above the voice of the preacher, which you'll be glad to know, he's going to finish in a minute, but over and above that voice, do you hear another voice? Do you hear the voice of a shepherd saying, look, it's time to get your house in order. It's time to get yourself sorted out. You need to get yourself sorted spiritually. You know that things are not right. You know the way things have been going recently. And you know in your heart of hearts that I have been speaking again and again. And you know that unless and until you get yourself sorted spiritually, it will continue to go on that rocky road. Come to me. I'm the good shepherd. You can trust me. The problem may not be sorted overnight, but with my guidance and my help and my leading, we will get through this. And more importantly, even than that particular problem that you may have in your situation now, the Lord says, I will give you eternal life. And you will never perish. No one will snatch you out of my hand. What a wonderful shepherd. Are you trusting him tonight? Are you leaning on him tonight? Have you entered in by the door that is Jesus into his fold, into his flock? And then as he gets up to set out through life, you hear his voice. You follow him to glory. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let us pray. Father, we pray tonight that through your word and the ministry of your gospel, that we would all hear your voice, and that we would not only hear it, but we would listen to it, and we would obey it and follow it. So, gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, take your word and apply it into all of our hearts for our eternal welfare and for our blessing. Amen.